Okay. We are still early. Huh? We got another maybe 12 or 13 minutes. Huh? So there is a set of new notes. Huh? You can have a copy if you haven't got. Huh? The title is Training of the Mind. Huh? Yeah. This one is a very good note. Huh? It will teach you how to develop the training of the mind. Huh? Then you also at the same time understand what are the characteristics of a trained mind. Yeah? And also the characteristics of a untrained mind. Okay, yeah, coming. There are some notes, training of the mind. Yeah? You make sure you have a copy. Yeah? Yeah, yes. Yeah, can, no problem. You see, the word silent is very important. You all finish or not? Not yet. Then you all continue. Never mind, it's okay. I will explain what that word silent means. You see, you always hear me say, the trained mind is silent. So to most people, silent means you don't talk, understand or not? But here, it is not only don't talk, you don't even have internal chattering of mind, understand or not? Silent of the heart. The heart must be silent, means no chattering, understand or not? No movement, it's just aware. So that is the real silent mind. Yeah, because most people have this conventional understanding that silent means if I don't talk, then I'm silent. So they always draw on the what they call retreat poster. They put a finger against their mouth. They say what they call, they say maintain what silent, a noble silent. That is not noble silent. That is don't talk. Don't talk is not noble silent. Noble silent is no chattering of mind. No heedless wandering of mind. The mind is completely silent. Thinking is not silent already. Thinking is the mental activity already. Yeah. That's why that mind must be silent. For those who just came in, there is a new set of notes, 4 pages on training of the mind. You make sure you get a copy. I don't get a lot of that. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We still got 6 more minutes. So for this, we just came in. Make sure you get a copy of this latest notes on training of the mind. They are all together 4 pages. If you got any question, you can also ask, so that we can make full use of the time we have. Anybody who is first time attending this Thursday class? Oh, what's your name? Frankie, yeah, you are most welcome. So anyway, just to get to know more about you, have you meditated before? Ah, good. Never mind. What type of meditation are you familiar with? What type of meditation that you are familiar with? Oh, okay. You do anapanasati? Anapanasati, okay. Do you really understand it quite well during those days when you do it? Oh, okay. How long? About how long ago? Oh, 5 years ago. Okay. Okay, good. Anyway, what we do here, just to brief you a bit, we are here to develop what they call a type of meditation that the Buddha taught that will bring about wisdom, understanding. So normally people call it vipassana. Vipassana is a Pali word. It consists of two important words. Vi is the characteristics of nature, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Then passana is to insight into these universal characteristics that are inherent in all phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. So whatever meditation training that can bring about this type of wisdom is called vipassana. So it's not limited to any method or any technique. What is more important is you must understand clearly what is meditation as taught by the Buddha so that you know how to develop it, so that you can bring about this understanding to focus when you cultivate. Then you won't debate. So the understanding of it is very important. So what we do is we start off by explaining how the Buddha actually teach the Dhamma. So there are two essential Dhammas that the Buddha taught. If you look at the whiteboard up there, first category of Dhamma is 5 mental hindrance. You can see from the back. Second category is the five spiritual faculties. Yeah? These are very important Dhamma. So the Buddha said the reason why living being is not able to meditate is because they have this first category of Dhamma, which is the five mental hindrance disturbing them. As you can see from the definition, they are called hindrance of mind, mental hindrance. Means when you have them, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner calmness. So that's why you become heedless. You think a lot. You are constantly lost in thought. You are not peaceful. You are not mindful. You are hardly aware. So that's why the heedless person has a lot of mental hindrance. And people cannot meditate is because this hindrance overpower them. Yeah. Then the Buddha said, when you understand that these are the things that cause you to be heedless, to sort of make you incapable of becoming peaceful, then what you must do is, he said, you don't fight this hindrance. You don't try to control or suppress them or fight them. What you should do is you should develop the opposite five spiritual faculty that can bring about transformation in you that will lead to the ability to root out all these five mental hindrances. Yeah. So if you read the Pali and the English translation, they are all there. Eh? The first category of hindrance are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, yeah, means lethargic mind, sleepy mind. Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. When you have problem, you have fear, worry, anxiety, your mind is restless. That is a hindrance. When you are restless, you cannot meditate. You cannot become peaceful. Then the last one is doubt. When you have doubt, you lack confidence. You are not sure. So a person who is not even confident of himself cannot develop the meditation. Yeah. So this five, you need to reflect, contemplate into it in your daily life, how it affects you. And why did the Buddha say that these are mental hindrance? Then you check, you investigate, is it true? If it's true, then you determine to train your mind so that it will not become like that anymore. So how do you train? You train by cultivating the opposite five, which is Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. You familiar with this Pali term? Pali words? You familiar? Ah, very good. The English translation, as you can see, is Sada is faith, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to really determine to cultivate when you understand who the Buddha is and how wonderful and special his teaching is. It can bring about enlightenment. And he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. To have such a being as your teacher and guide is indeed a great blessing. You will have a lot of respect and gratitude for him. So your faith in him becomes unshakable. Then it will drive you to cultivate. Then virya will come. Then after that, you will determine to cultivate the mind, to train it to become mindful, sati. Then when mindfulness stabilizes, it will become samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, the unified mind that is unwavering. Collected, unified, and unwavering. Then when there is sati and samadhi, the mind is silent, peaceful, aware. It can see things as they are, and it can understand clearly what is going on. Means it can develop wisdom, it can insight into the reality, it can see things as they are, not with the conditioned mind, not with the conditioned thinking, views and opinion of what you see. Means you see truth, you see them as it is. So, in Pali, the Buddha called it Jnana Dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Jnana is translated as insight knowledges. So, Jnana dasana means direct knowledge and vision of the reality. You can only have that when you can insight into phenomena, when you can see things as they are clearly. Yeah. So when you understand these two categories of Dhamma, you determine to train the mind to develop the important set of spiritual faculty. And to do that, the Buddha said, we start with puja. Yeah. We develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then we pay respect mindfully. Then we chant. When we chant, we determine to actually develop that strong faith. So we take refuge in the triple gem. We renew our five precepts. We rejoice. Then we chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So these are the things that can bring about the training of the mind to develop this five spiritual faculty. Then the form of sitting meditation is to train this mind to develop sati, because sati is the most difficult among the five. Yeah. So when you can train the mind to develop sati, that is the beginning of meditation. Because the seven factors of enlightenment, yeah, the first factor is sati, mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot start. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Dhamma vichaya is not possible. And Dhamma vichaya is the second enlightenment factor. Then the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 very clearly states, you need sati to develop the meditation. So without sati, you cannot train this mind until it's very stable to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the meditation, means you cannot develop heedfulness or apamada. And a person who is without heedfulness, the Buddha said, under Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. Yeah. So with that understanding, you will know the importance of training this mind to have the deep mindfulness that stabilizes it and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path so that you become heedful. Yeah. So that is a brief summary. Yeah? Okay, the notes that we hand out today, yeah, is very useful. Those who just came in, make sure you get a set of four copies. Yeah. After this, I will go through you the notes. Yeah. They are very clearly described how you can train your mind. Then maybe if you can, huh, you go back and read through some of the important transcript talk. There is a transcript on the 12 September 2013, yeah? The Thursday meditation class, where I actually explain about the meditation quite clearly. So if you read that, we will save quite a lot of time, huh? So that when we come here, we don't have to repeat. We can just sit for about 40 minutes. Then after that, we can immediately start the second session of Q&A and Dhamma sharing. Huh? Okay, now we start the puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha in the virya, in the Buddha and his teaching. Then pay respect mindfully. For those who face this Buddha Rupang, you can do it that direction. Eh? For those who find here more convenient, you just pay respect to the Buddha Rupang. Okay. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Usawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we start. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Huh? Just relax yourself, huh? Body and mind, completely relax. Huh? Relax means don't have any stress, okay? Even mentally. Huh? Forget about all your problems, just maintain attention. Huh? So that we can develop the training of the mind to develop the meditation. Those who already trained, you already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Yeah? I will off the light. Yeah? Then after that, maybe those who are new, one of them, and some who still need instruction, you can listen, yeah, to the very general and brief instruction. Yeah? Because all the details, they are in the transcript. Later on, you will be able to understand them. So to briefly run through, yeah, in order to develop the meditation, the body and mind must harmonize. Means both must develop understanding to support each other. So you make sure both body and mind relax. Relax means no stress, no problem. Yeah. Then silence everything. Don't even try to think. Just relax and silence everything. Then maintain some form of attention within your body and mind. Yeah. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Yeah. Make sure you've got a stable posture. Yeah. If you find it difficult to sit on the floor, cross-legged, you can sit on a chair. Or you can lean against a wall. Or whatever posture that suits you. Yeah. That can allow you to maintain some formal posture to train your mind. You can use it. Because meditation is not about posture. It's more about your mind state. Yeah. For those who can sit, you make sure you have a very stable tripod, yeah, base. Then you close your eye. You maintain awareness or attention around your forehead. Just feel. Don't think, feel. Yeah? This is a skillful means that will help you to decondition your heedless mind, the thinking mind, so that you can become more calm and more peaceful. We call it the mind sweeping method. Yeah? So you start by maintaining attention at your forehead. Silence everything, feel. Don't think, just feel. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you silently relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax, 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 and relax. Then after that, you maintain attention on your eye muscle. You sweep it down to your eye muscle. Then you feel every strand of the eye muscle. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, again, you silently relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then maintain attention on your facial muscle. Sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel and relax and make sure every part of your facial muscle, wherever there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. If you have problem relaxing your body and mind, then I will help you to develop a skillful means to make it relax. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy in your heart. When there is joy, you feel relaxed. You are at peace. There is no problem. So radiate a radiant smile. Then after that, radiate metta. Metta is loving kindness. Metta will help bring about inner well-being. It can lead to inner well-being. Whereas the training of the mind will lead to inner peace. So inner peace and inner well-being will become a byproduct of your mental training. So what you do is, from that radiant smile, you radiate love and metta to yourself. You can recite as how I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your own form and mind. You can repeat this one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the body and mind having this well-being and happiness deep within. Then after that, you continue to radiate metta. May this form and mind of mine to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones, somebody very close to you, your parents, your loved one, your spouse, or your good friend, your brothers, your sister. Then you can radiate the same to them. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and may all my loved ones, including all my Dharma friends who are with me here, may they all do be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can continue to radiate this metta to all beings within the entire of Subhanjaya. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhanjaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then our planet Earth, then our solar system, and then all beings within the galaxy, then all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax every part. Then move your mind, your attention to your neck. Feel, relax, shoulder, do the same. Feel, relax, then hands back to shoulder, then relax everything. Then move your attention to your heart area, your chest area. Just silence your mind and feel. If you can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just silence your mind and stay there. If you are new, if you have not trained your mind, then you just continue to relax. Feel your heart like you feel your forehead. Any tension, any stress within, or any tightness, you just soothingly relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move on to your stomach, feel, don't think, feel. Then again, relax them all. You sweep it down to your abdomen, silence your mind and just feel. Again, relax every part within. Then you sweep it down to your buttock, to your leg, do the same. Feel and relax, feel and relax. Then you can reverse this whole cycle back from your leg to your buttock, then your abdomen, stomach, your heart area. Just feel, relax every part. Then move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle. Feel and relax every part. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be already much more calm, much more peaceful. Your mind is like more peaceful, more conducive to develop the meditation. So now what we can do is we need to stabilize this silent mind, this peaceful mind, this calm state of mind that we have developed the training. You can use either a skillful means or an object of meditation to anchor this mind so that this silent or this mind can maintain attention on the object of meditation so that mindfulness can be developed until it's very, very stable. We will do anapanasati as done by the Buddha and as taught by the Buddha in the first category of cultivation under kaya nupasana, the first foundation of mindfulness, of the four foundations. So under kaya nupasana, the Buddha said, train your mind in anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. Anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. So again, like you note your forehead, or you maintain attention in your forehead, now you note your breath. You maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then you silence your mind. Then allow the breathing to go on naturally. Then the moment the breath is detected by your mind, your awareness, mind and breath move as one without thought. That is anapanasati. So like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. You just train yourself in anapanasati. Initially, if you are not used to it, your mindfulness has not developed. This training is not easy. The mind wanders off very fast. But don't worry, develop patience. Every time this mind wanders off, bring it back to the breathing. If you are patient in training your mind, after a while, sooner or later, the mind will become peaceful, born of anapanasati. Means this anapanasati will come in. You will develop it. Then when anapanasati is developed, your mind becomes very peaceful, very calm, very quiet, very silent. The first mind state that develops when you have trained yourself in anapanasati is what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture that will arise when anapanasati is there, when your mind is just aware without thought. Then this anapanasati can bring about beautiful mind state. Piti is one of them. So when PT arises, you will like to meditate. There's a lot of joy, a lot of spiritual calmness, spiritual peace within. Sometimes it becomes so intense, like there is rapture. You feel so good. You continue to relax, silent. Anapanasati become more and more refined. Then this PT will transform into another more refined state of sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss. Your mind state becomes so blissful. Then meditation becomes very, very different. There's a lot of bliss within every breath you take, whether inner or breath. Then initially it will transform into long breath. Then after a while, this long breath will slowly, slowly become more and more refined until the breath slows down, until there is a point of time where this mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. You then enter what they call pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, the tranquil mind, the still mind, without thought. And that mind is the meditative mind. That is the silent mind in sati, or mindfulness. So when you reach that state, all of your object of meditation become very subtle. Even your breathing become very subtle. If you do rising, falling, it's the same. It's like little or no movement, because you need a higher, more refined awareness to be mindful of all this movement. So when this thing happens, you just silence your mind. Don't try to do anything. Don't even try to do sitting, touching and all those things. Just silent. Do not verbalize anymore. Completely silent. Then allow the silent mind to develop the understanding. If you find it very difficult to maintain mindfulness, then you can stay at the breathing. Anchor it to your subtle breathing. If you find that difficult, then you move to your heart area. You just silence your mind. Whatever vibration or heartbeat that you come to be aware of, you just allow it to be and let it develop. And then that mind in sati will anchor that. Then after a while, you will be able to be very, very quietly develop the ability to be aware and silent. And you will stay there without movement. They call it pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, without any thought, without any movement, without any thinking. That mind, if you allow it to be, it becomes very, very still, until complete silence. Initially, it will follow the heartbeat or the vibration. After a while, it becomes more and more subtle until it becomes like no more movement. Then during that time, you can continue to relax and just silent, maintain silent anyway. You will become very sensitive. All of the sense bases, upon contact, what happened, you will become very clear to you. You will be able to be aware of all the movement, all the activity that is going on. So meditation is to train this mind until it reaches pasati, then silent, to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, how your form and mind function, to see clearly all the essential dhamma that the Buddha teach, the dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four noble truths. They are all there within your own form and mind. Okay, with that, I will allow you all to develop your own meditation. I will ring the bell in about 20 minutes. Then after that, we will continue with the second session. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have been asked slowly, mind, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. The mind that is trained is very useful. It listens to you, and you can make use of it appropriately to develop the meditation. The real meditation only starts after you have developed a very stable mind that is already in sati and samadhi most of the time or throughout the day. If your spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi is not stable, wisdom cannot arise. That's why the spiritual faculty is always sada, virya, then sati. Then once sati stabilized, samadhi is there. With sati and samadhi, you can have the silent mind, the meditative mind, to see things as they are, without distortion, without any conditioning, without the thought. And you can see the reality for what it is. That's why you can have the direct seeing things as they are, to awaken to its characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. You will insight into all phenomena, clearly. So, spiritual faculty is a must. So when sati stabilized becomes samadhi, then you can use this mind state to move into the daily life, to live your whatever life that you need to live. It is only when you can develop the daily mindfulness to be aware throughout the day, to cultivate the sati sampajana, or what they call mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all activity in the present moment. That is the real meditation. So sati is most important. It's also, like I explained just now, the first factor of enlightenment that you need to develop. Without sati, there is no mindfulness for you to be aware, for you to develop the silent mind to meditate, for you to develop samadhi to see things clearly. So without sati and samadhi, you cannot investigate Dhamma. You cannot understand your form and mind. You cannot understand how you function as a human being. You cannot understand who you are, what you are, and why the Buddha said this fire aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being, or the five mental aggregate, they are all impermanent, lead to suffering, and they are empty or non-self. Anicchang dukkhang anatta. All this can only be understood if you have developed the training of the mind to be mindful. Okay, this will bring us back to the topic that we're supposed to discuss today. So now you can turn on to your notes. There are four pages. The title is Training of the Mind. So this note come about because of Sister Ellen. We should all thank her and some other Kayanamita who has helped to develop these notes. We rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, you all can also rejoice because Kayanamita funds also donated for the printing of this note for free distribution. So if you are part of the Kayanamita group, you also actually partake in this wholesomeness. The reason why Sister Ellen wanted to share this is because after she actually listened to many of the talk that I gave and many of the sharing that I delivered at various places, which was mentioned in the opening statement, some at Klang Tiratana Center, most of it is at this Thursday class, then there is also this meditation retreat that we had at the beginning of the year, sometime in March, where we held a 9-day retreat at Cameron Highland, San Bao Si. So all these talks that were recorded helped her a lot. She listened and listened and listened. Then she came to a very, very clear understanding of how this mind can be trained and what are the things you need to do to train this mind. Then what are the characteristics of a trained mind? What are the characteristics of an untrained mind? Yeah. So all these, which are so important, she had this great sincerity, love and compassion to share this important information with others. And she been a very systematic and structured lady. She was able to come out with this, what they call notes at table, yeah, that can allow you to develop the understanding very easily, yeah, instead of having to read through the whole Tipitaka, yeah, then get people to explain to you, then slowly, slowly put them down into short notes and table form for easy understanding. She has done it for you. Yeah. So because of that, she wrote to me through an email and asked me to help, yeah, edit through, check through, and see whether it's suitable for sharing or not with Kayanamita. I immediately read through and rejoiced. Then I replied, I say, very good. Very, very kind of you to have done that. I rejoice. That's how after that I did the editing. Then we sent it back. A group of other Kayanamita helped to do the spelling check, the formatting, the printing, then the photostatting and all those things. That's how the notes come about. So you should appreciate all this, what they call sincere and very compassionate effort by fellow Dhamma friends to help each other to walk the path of Dhamma more easily. Yeah? Okay, I'll read to you so that you will understand better. Training the mind via understanding the essential Dhammas and meditation as taught by the Buddha. In bracket, these are notes compiled mainly from the various talks given by Brother Teo and Tiratana Buddhist Society, Klang, on the 20th June 2014. I gave a talk there that day. The title is Importance of Sati to Walk the Path of Dhamma. Yeah. So that talk was very useful. Then Thursday classes, especially the one held at this venue, Brother Suyan's house, on the 10th of July this year, recent talk. And the March 2014 Cameron Highland Retreat at Sampo Temple. The first thing that you need to know is the characteristics of a trained mind. What is a trained mind? So I will read to you all the important pointer of a trained mind. A trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. That's why I bold the word naturally aware, and there's a reason for it. Eh? Because you can be aware in different modes. And most people can only be aware when you are in a state of concentration, which is a conditioned state, which is not a naturally aware free mind. A mind that is naturally aware is a free mind, is not in a conditioned state of concentration or one-pointedness or in absorption. Means that mind is not fixed, not controlled by something, by energy field and all those things. The other word is silent. How many of you don't understand this word? Silent is quite a common word, isn't it? So what is it to be silent? What is your understanding? Silent means what? Very good. Because some people may not understand, because to you, silent means don't talk, correct or not? You put a finger in front of your mouth, say, maintain noble silence. If you reflect on it, you saw all this sign in the retreat, isn't it? Yeah? They put the poster there with the finger on your lips. Yeah? Maintain noble silence. Is that really noble silence? To me, that one is don't talk, correct or not? Don't talk means you don't make noise, understand? Or? But are you silent mentally inside? Is your heart silent? Here, the trained mind is always silent, means you are mentally silent, understand? Or? Mentally silent means what? Not only you don't talk, your mind don't even think. So mentally silent is different from don't talk. Mentally silent means no internal chattering. Your mind chatter a lot, isn't it? Agree or not? And your mind do a lot of thinking. The mind think a lot, isn't it? No thinking. This is mental silence. This is the real silent mind. So, if your mind, after you don't talk, you appear very quiet, very silent, but mentally chatter a lot. Sometimes you talk to yourself inside. Chatter a lot. Complain here and there. React. Then like tell a lot of story. The other one is there is no more thinking inside there. The mind that is trained is always peaceful, silent, relaxed and just aware. Then it listens to you. You want to think? Then it will think. But most of the time it's silent, without thought. So this characteristic is a very important understanding. Maybe I sit up here, those at the back can see me. So now I ask you this question. Is your mind trained? Is your mind trained? First criteria is what? How often are you silent? Without thought, without chattering. How many of you can maintain 5 minutes of it throughout the day in this state of silence? Nobody? Oh, that means you got a lot more to do to train your mind. Hey, serious. If you can't even do it for 5 minutes, it means throughout the day you are most of the time heedless. You think a lot. That's why daily mindfulness is very useful. Then the word heedful, you know, if you are not constantly aware, you cannot be heedful. But heedfulness got two parts. To be heedful, first, you must be ever mindful. Ever mindful. Plus, what? Constantly meditative. Meditative. Means constantly cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. So if you cannot develop the silent mind, which is continuous mindfulness or awareness, or ability to maintain the ever mindful state of mind, then you cannot be heedful. So these two go hand in hand. So if your mind is trained, it will always be silent. So a trained mind is always silent, heedful, and because it don't think, it is peaceful. Agree enough? If you don't think, you are peaceful. The moment you start to think, you become not peaceful. Why? What does a thought do to you? When you create thought, what happened to you? You are no longer silent. You create activity in the mind. And when you give meaning to what you think, what happened? Sensual desire, ill will, the hindrance will come out. There is this duality that you will cling on to. Then what happened is, the moment you start to do that, there is no more clarity. You are lost in thought. So lack of peace come about because you think a lot. your mind is preoccupied with the sense experience, reacting to it, creating duality, creating emotion, stirring. So the mind that do a lot of this is heedless, the Buddha said. Yeah. So because you have not trained your mind, so this mind, you cannot develop the silence within. And because of that, you cannot be heedful. And peace will be very difficult to come by. Yeah. Whereas if you have trained this mind, it's always silent, heedful, peaceful. And not only that, it's always relaxed, without stress, without problem. Yeah. And naturally aware within. So when you have trained your mind, this state of mind, you will come to realize. And you will know you are destined for enlightenment, really. Understand? Where the Buddha in the Dhammapada verse 21 say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train your mind, if you are heedless, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And that is very clear. Dead here means spiritually dead. You may be alive, conscious of living. You exist the true life. You never leave because there is no spiritual life in you. So the Buddha's meaning is very deep. The heedless are as if dead means spiritually you are like dead. Then the next criteria for a trained mind is it has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness. This one is easy to understand, right? When there is inner awareness and inner peace without thought, definitely you are aware that there is clarity, right? Correct or not? If you are lost in thought and preoccupied in what you think or what you see and what you hear, how can there be clarity, right? How can you be attentive, right? True or not? So the trained mind has clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So this yoniso manasikara is a Pali term that the Buddha often described. Without this, you cannot live. You cannot cope with life. Yeah. And this yoniso manasikara is translated as wise attention. Yoniso is wise. A yoniso is unwise. Manasikara is attention. So at every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think of something, at that moment itself, there must be wisdom. Understand? Means yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. That's why wisdom is like that. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. So if you don't have, dependent origination will run. Upon contact, feeling arise. When feeling arise, if there is no wisdom, feeling will be conditioned into craving. That's why you cannot cut a feeling. So that, I hope you are clear. So a lot of people foolishly develop this wrong view to develop the meditation. They say dependent origination say, upon feeling, craving arise. So craving is the cause of suffering. So we must cut a feeling. Then what you do? You go and suppress your feeling. You go and control your feeling. You don't want to get angry. You don't want to become emotional. That is all suppression. That is control. That is not meditation. That one you cannot free. That one develop what they call stress inside. You actually bottle up all your emotion, your fear, your worry. You want to get angry, you dare not get angry. Because you suppress everything. It's just like smoking. You control the desire not to smoke. How many days can you do? After 3 days, I tell you, you become worse, like a drug addict. Then the moment you got a chance on that cigarette, you like take revenge. You smoke until like nobody is there. So that is the consequence of suppression, control. But when you develop understanding of what these five aggregate of form and mind are, when you insight into their characteristics, seeing that they are impermanent, condition arising, causal phenomena, the moment you give meaning, attach, cling, and grasp, suffering is the result, then you see the danger. Then through wisdom, it will have no power over you. Then you see clearly, because they are impermanent, they come and they go, they are not you. Craving is not you, anger is not you, emotion is not you, fear is not you. So why must you control and suppress? You must understand them for what they are. They come about because you have certain wrong view about things. You take the impermanent as permanent. You take the suffering sense experience as pleasurable. You chase after the wrong thing. Understand? So, inability to see the truth will lead to delusion. The worst is self-delusion. Thinking this five aggregate of form and mind is what you are. Thinking that this body is what you are. Your feelings are what you are. Perception, activity of mind, views, opinion, and consciousness. So when you have wrong view, that is the result. And because of that wrong view, Sakkaya Ditthi, the Buddha says, under the first Noble Truth, final summary, in short, it is due to what? Suffering is due to what? Your attachment and clinging, which is craving to your five aggregate of form and mind. That's why he says, it is this upadana kandas, grasping aggregate that I call suffering. If your aggregate are pure aggregate, without the wrong view, without Sakkaya Ditthi, without ignorance, it will not grasp. But because you think they are you, they are permanent, pleasurable, can be owned, can be possessed, you go and cling onto it. That's how you have wrong view that condition you into delusion, to grasp, to cling, and to arise your suffering, misery, and fear. So all this through meditation, you will develop the understanding. That's why I put here, a trained mind has clarity, born of inner peace and inner awareness, to see things as they are, means to see their characteristics clearly, so that you are not deluded. So that there is no more Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion. Leading to the wisdom needed to arise the wise attention at every moment of sense experience. You have to develop the meditation until you insight into phenomena, the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self. They're very clear about it. And then only you can break free. Then only this yoniso manasikara stay within your nature. It's not a memory. This one you don't have to remember on. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. And it cannot be cultivated. It can only be realized through cultivation. Yeah. Means you have to awaken to it. You cannot practice wisdom. Wisdom is not rigid, cannot be practiced. You cannot learn wisdom. You have to cultivate, walk the path and realize it. Because it is not something that is like a knowledge, a fixed knowledge, a rigid thing. Not science. It is mental. Okay, then if we go on to the next third point. A trained mind will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, it will be silent. Peaceful and aware, it will just be so. So this is the advantage of having a trained mind there. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. Then you want it to be aware and peaceful, it will stay there. That's why meditation becomes very easy. That's why the mind that is trained is very different. It listens to you. It protects you. It enables you to see things clearly. Then you develop the wisdom through that. Okay, the fourth point is, you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the heedfulness. So this one is very straightforward. A trained mind, you can use it, which is very true, where it listens to you. And you can direct it appropriately to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And you do this, it becomes heedfulness. That's why I say leading to heedfulness. It will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. See? This is the benefit of training your mind. Yeah? You have a good servant to serve you well. Yeah. A trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it's the base from which wisdom will arise. Wisdom will keep on arising. Yeah. This is very true. The moment you are heedful, understanding keep on unfolding. Yeah. It just arises by itself. Technically, after that, you don't really need teacher. Yeah. I use the word technically because sometimes the form of mind that is already heedful, they actually awaken to it already. But because it is so gradual a thing, they may not know. Yeah. But when they encounter a situation, they know how to act. They will act spontaneously without the thought on. From an understanding inside, from wisdom inside, he will know how to act on. Zonk, he will just come out. Then he also will be very surprised. How come I can do things like that on? How come I can act like that on? Last time cannot. How come there is so much clarity now? That is the result of a trained mind, Anasana. The trained mind that has developed the understanding and the wisdom. That wisdom is the one that protects you. And that wisdom is not rigid. Because everything is in a continuous state of flux, following nature's law. Everyone is different. Every situation is different. So you cannot say if situation is like that, you act like that. No such thing. Never two situations is the same one. You need complete understanding of the totality, the whole, in order to act wisely. Yeah. Because if you cannot understand, you cannot act. And what most people do is they act according to memory, which to the wise one is not acting at all. But when you act according to memory, you get into a lot of trouble. What is memory? Yeah? Memory is a storehouse of what? Yeah? Storehouse of what? All of your experiences. Yeah? What are your experiences? Human beings are very funny, you know. They say they don't want to suffer, no. They want to have what they call happiness, no, joy, no. But everything they do lead to suffering. Because your brain, which is what you use to accumulate, understand, no? You accumulate as memory, correct, no? What do you accumulate? All of your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, sadness, phobia. Now all this you go and accumulate. They call it the scars of memory. Then what happens? Every time you see something that creates condition, you recall. Then you become fearful. Then you worry. That's why when you act according to memory, memory has all these experiences accumulated inside there. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity is there. So what happened? And your wrong view, sakadity, self-delusion. So you will become selfish, understand not? Because you have seen how you cheat people, how other people cheat and harm you or rob you, understand not? So you hear motorbike sound, you got fear already, you know, panic already, snatch teeth coming already. Because you act according to memory. That memory recall, then you have not straightened that view and you don't know what sankara is, the characteristic. So immediately there is fear, there is insecurity. Then there is this constant worry, anxiety, born of that accumulation. That's why you don't act that way. If you act that way, you suffer. Yeah. All of your memory actually brings about suffering. Yeah. Memory is of the past, isn't it? And the past is the known. The knowledge. But what you are going through in life is the moment, understand? It's alive, understand? It's not dead. So you cannot use the past, which is knowledge, which is dead, to act in the moment. In the moment, there must be understanding. You must act spontaneously through that understanding. That's why without yoniso manasikara, you cannot act. You cannot live. There will be fear. There will be sorrow. Then you must straighten your view, your understanding of life, understanding of who you are, what you are, the five aggregate of form and mind, and what are feeling, how they are conditioned into craving and all those things. So all this, through meditation, through mindfulness, through heedfulness, you will develop the wisdom and the understanding of it. Okay, then we go on to the next part. An untrained mind. This one I think very easy to understand. Because most of you have gone through this stage. The untrained mind is heedless. Agree or not? What is heedlessness? It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experience and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. So if you understand this important teaching of the Buddha, you have to be very, very, very aware. Understand now? Do you want to be heedless? Because the Buddha described it very clearly, you know, the heedless are as if dead. Spiritually dead. You got no spiritual life, you know. And that is the life of suffering, of the heedless one. If you think that is what your life is going to be like, and you think that is what you want, and then continue to be heedless, no need to train your mind, understand? Then do what you like, understand? Think what you like, act the way you want to do, through all your own selfishness, emotional negativity, or fear, worry, anxiety. All these are the evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion. Then an untrained mind is like a devil's workshop, and it will make you very evil. You know what is a devil, isn't it? An evil spirit, isn't it? An evil being is a devil. So your mind, if it's heedless, if it's untrained, is like the devil inside there, run the workshop. Means it control you and create havoc for you. You have no control over it. It actually controls you, and it takes over your life, causing you suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. Not the true mind. The true mind, actually, no need to train. It is already the meditative state. But because you fail to realize it, you fail to understand that there is that nature within you. Each and every one of us, we have that silent mind. The Buddha nature within, the true mind, the unconditioned, which is just aware. But because you fail to realize that, reason being, most of the time, you are lost in thought. So you cling on to the conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the heedless mind, thinking that that is what you are. And these are the five mental aggregates that the Buddha talked about. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana. So these are mental aggregates. The second aspect of this five aggregate of form and mind. And they are all impermanent, lead to suffering. And they are anatta, non-self, empty nature, not you. So all this you need to develop understanding through the training of the mind to develop the direct seeing. The meditative state, the meditative understanding to realize the truth, to awaken to the what they call characteristics of nature. Then the next one is, an untrained mind is deluded with wrong view. It easily becomes angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. So if you were to recollect and check back on your life, every time you suffer, what are the things that causes it? You will know that. When you are in a state of suffering and misery, what is the underlying factor? You always have this few things that I describe. either you are very angry, emotional, or you are very selfish, fearful, or you become like insecure. And these are the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Anger is an evil root. Selfishness is greed, also an evil root. Then emotional negativity is also an evil root of aversion, anger, or hatred, envy, and jealousy. Then fear is delusion. When you don't have delusion, there is no fear. Worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they are all born of delusion. Without delusion, you don't have such mind state. So that's why deluded with wrong view, the untrained mind easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful. Hence, the suffering. It has got no understanding of what is going on in life. It lacks wisdom because it is deluded. So this state of mind is very dangerous. You suffer a lot. This is what the Buddha meant by the heedless eye as if dead. So knowing clearly the importance of training your mind, because you see the big difference between an untrained mind and a trained mind, the wise will intend on heedfulness to train your mind. Understand? Then they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas. Aryas are enlightened ones, noble ones. So Dhammapada verse 22 confirm, if you are the wise one, you should intend on heedfulness to train your mind. Then the third part is what we are interested in, training the mind. So how you do it, training the mind. Yeah. So this one, I think Alan has put it in a very nice way. We go through. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. Agree or not? Very simple, isn't it? So without wisdom, living beings are heedless because you think a lot. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. Don't understand life means you don't understand the laws that governs life and existence. You don't understand what is going on in your life. Then to understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. I used to explain to you all that the essence of the Buddha's teaching is what? What is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? What is the essence of the Buddha's teaching? Four Noble Truths, isn't it? So to me, this Four Noble Truths, the moment I understand it, and when I read about it for the first time in the year 1971, straight away I said, no need to search. This is the true religion. I stopped all my search at that age when I read about this through one of the books that somebody gave me, written by Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda at that time. The first edition, red color. Because I say, whoever who can come out with this Four Noble Truths, he is the truly wise one. Because when I read it, I understand that this Four Noble Truths explained to me all of life, the mundane and the supramundane, that I need to understand. Means everything about life in this universe that I need to understand is all there. So that's why to me it's like the secret of life. Because with that, I know how to live. I understand what life is. So when you know the secret of something, you will know how to live and use it. Karena. Secret of life is, if I don't understand this Four Noble Truth, I will become very heedless, very deluded. Means I don't even know what suffering is. I come to this world, develop suffering, yet not understanding why I suffer, and that is suffering. So first number two, explain to you clearly about all form of suffering that living beings go through. The Buddha talked about the eight realities of life and existence. If you were to live life long enough, you will have to confront all these eight realities of life and existence, which is birth, old age, sickness, and death. The first four. Then separation from loved one, and prized possession, like your wealth, your property, your career, your business, and all those things that you hold on to dearly. Yeah. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, the Buddha said, then the seventh one is when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, suffering is the result. Then the final summary, in short, is it through your own sakkayadity, self-delusion, you grasp and cling on to this so-called human being, five aggregate of form and mind, so that they become grasping aggregate, and that is the cause of suffering. So if you don't understand this, how do you live life? You don't even know what dukkha is. Means you suffer without knowing that you suffer. Then the second noble truth explains clearly the cause of suffering. The cause behind every suffering is already explained. He said it is mainly due to craving, born of delusion, self-delusion. So when you know what is suffering and the cause behind, at least you can manage your life better. And there is the beginning of using that teaching to cope with life. But if you want to really, really go beyond all suffering, you need to establish the other two noble truths. You have to go to the third noble truth. The third noble truth the Buddha talked about, the noble truth of cessation of suffering. So the Buddha said, in this world, suffering need not be. If you have wisdom, you can confront all the first noble truth reality. You can confront birth, always sickness and death, separation from loved one, possession, everything. And yet you are peaceful. Nothing will happen. So Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. Enlightenment is possible. So that third noble truth will give you a lot of confidence. And you know, life need not be that way. Suffering need not be. So that will motivate you to cultivate, to develop the understanding or the wisdom born of the fourth noble truth. And what is the fourth noble truth? The Buddha said, very good. Noble Eightfold Path. He said, there is a Noble Eightfold Path. When you put it into cultivation, you can realize the enlightenment, and it will lead to the end of all suffering. So what is the purpose of meditation? To become enlightened in there, so that you can end all suffering in there. So this Noble Eightfold Path, if you sincerely, diligently develop the cultivation of it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Understand that? Then when you realize the enlightenment, means you realize the supramundane, beyond the mundane. Means you realize a state of enlightenment which is beyond the conditioned world. That's why all of life within the conditioned and the unconditioned world, they are all clearly defined in the Four Noble Truths. So that's why I wrote here, to understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful. You cancel the word ness. We put the heedfulness, we miss out this one. You just blanko it off. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful. Not heedfulness, to be heedful. To understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who we are, what we are, and how our mind functions, so that we understand what causes us suffering, and how our deluded mundane mind get muddled up in life. So this is a summary of what you need to do. So, who we are, what we are, that is what you need to meditate on. Understand? Is this so-called human being you? And what is the human being? The first aspect the Buddha defined very clearly, the five aggregate of form and mind. As a human being, you have a physical form. So this is your rupa form, first aspect. The second aspect is external form, mental form. That one is the second aspect of the five mental aggregates of form and mind. But the first aspect is more important as a human being. Is that you have a physical body, physical form. And this is your first aspect of rupa. then you have a mind that is trapped inside. And the Buddha subdivide this mind into four more aggregates. And to understand what these four aggregates are, the Buddha said, you need to inquire, what can my mind do? What can your mind do? What can your mind do? Think a lot, isn't it? That one you sure know. So thinking is sankara, understand? So the five aggregates of form and mind is very simple. First aspect is, five aggregate of form and mind. The first aspect is as a human being. So as a human being, very easy. You have a physical body. Then you have a mind. Okay? So this is physical body. Rupa. Okay? The first aspect of rupa is body. Okay? Or your physical form. Okay? Physical form. Then your mind. This one is mind. What can your mind do? Your mind can? First one is, you can feel, right? Correct? Hot or cold? You can feel. Then you can perceive. Then after that, just now you mentioned one, you can think, isn't it? Think is sankara, activity of mind. Or contemplate, reflect. Also, all of your scheming, planning, whatever volition that you arise, anasana, your subconscious dream state, everything, they are part of sankara thinking. The Pali equivalent is sankara. This one is vedana. Feeling is vedana. Then this one is sanya. Then this one is sankara thinking. Then what else can your mind do? Mental activity is sankara. Everything that your mind can do, the activity, the thinking, the planning, the scheming. No, perception is here already. Whatever you can perceive. Very good. Means your mind is capable of being conscious. Conscious of what? You have your five physical senses. The eye can become conscious of what you see. The ear can become conscious of what you hear. The nose, conscious of what you smell. Tongue, conscious of what you taste. Then your body, conscious of what you tactilely feel. Then you have a mind. The mind can be conscious of what? Conscious of? Mind consciousness. Understand? Mind consciousness is the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Understand? So, the last one is consciousness. Or vinyanang. Pali equivalent is vinyanang. So these are the four things that your mind can do. So the Buddha said, this human being is actually one of the aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. Physical body, physical form. Then there is this mind. He subdivides into four more aggregates. So that's why in Pali he called it Rupa Vedana Sanya Sankara Vinyana. And he said, this one is not you. This human being is not you. That's why it's anatta, non-self, anasana. If you cannot understand this through meditation, you will forget, forever get stuck. You will always think with the egoic mind. And no matter how you think, the ego is there. Sakayaditi is there. That's why the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is always there. Because that personality, the atta, the ego, is always there. And you think this guy is what you are. The ego. The self-delusion. Sakayaditi, the atta. all this trap you. This one you need to meditate on it. You need to develop the understanding of it. Because under the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha actually explained very clearly under Dhammanupassana, the last foundation. The first category of mindfulness on the last foundation of Dhammanupassana is mindfulness of the five hindrances, the five mental hindrances, so that you understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be, then how the arisen hindrance cease to be, then how in the future this arisen hindrance will never arise again. Then after that, the second category is mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. You must know who you are, what you are, and that they are all impermanent, lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to and say, this is me, this is I, this can be mine. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty nature. Yeah. So this one is the most important. Okay, we have to move a bit faster. So the untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because of the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. They are all in the notes and also in the whiteboard up there. This mental hindrance will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace with inner awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, one only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, as taught by the Buddha, like what I explained just now, before we start. Yeah. So when the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone, and the mind will be trained automatically. That's why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculties. You can do it via your puja, or devotional practices, and daily religious routine. Yeah. So the Buddha teach the puja, is for you to develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then you pay respect mindfully, sati. That's why bowing is a very good cultivation. It not only develops merits, it develops humility, then it exercises your body, then it cultivates mindfulness, heedfulness. That's why there are a lot of advantages that come with bowing. Then the Buddha said, four things grow when you pay respect to those who are worthy of respect, even your elders. What are the four things? Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. Very good. Ayu is what? Long life. Sukang, you know. Sukang is happiness, peace, joy. Wana is what they call fair complexion, beauty, lady will like. Palang is what? Strength. Strength, there are two parts, physical and mental, spiritual. So the spiritual strength is more important. So palang, you not only have physical strength, you have spiritual strength, mental strength. Means you determine to cultivate diligently, sincerely. So all this can lead to what they call merits and wisdom. Then you also at the same time cultivate devotion. So puja is very important. Then your daily religious routine, to maintain a religious routine so that throughout the day you cultivate. You can have morning before you sleep. Morning when you wake up or at night before you sleep. You do your puja, then your meditation. Then in between, whenever you're free. Then connect those in between, wherever you're free. Develop the daily mindfulness. After you have trained the mind, you should develop this daily mindfulness. Start from your house activity, then slowly bring it to your driving, office, then your daily life. If you do that, you are destined for enlightenment. and that is not typical. So coming back to the training of mind, I need to go through this quickly. You look at the five spiritual faculties. When you have developed your faith and confidence in the Buddha, what happened? Your mind become very composed, very calm because of that faith, karana. So when you have that faith, that confidence and that calmness, it will help you to overcome doubt, anasara. You got no more doubt because your confidence in the Buddha and his teaching will make you very calm, very composed. So no more doubt. Then what you do is you develop virya. Means after knowing who the Buddha is, how special his teaching is, you determine to follow him. You determine to cultivate diligently. So virya is a spiritual zeal. When you have this spiritual tenacity or zeal, you will never be sleepy. Anasara. So sloth and torpor, no more. You will be wide awake, fully awake. Then when you develop sati and a very stable mindfulness, so this mindfulness will prevent you from developing the restlessness, the thinking. When you are aware without thought, you cannot think. And when you don't think, there is no problem. So all your restlessness, born of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, no more. Depression, everything, no more. So that's why sati and samadhi is very important. When sati stabilizes, the mind becomes collected and unified and unwavering. So that is samadhi. So sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, hence developing the wisdom. When there is wisdom, there is no more sensual desire and ill will. Wisdom will allow you to have equanimity, upeka, the last factor of enlightenment. You will always be at peace with the moment, under any circumstances, anywhere, any place, anytime. Not only in a retreat condition. So that is the real, what they call, wisdom. Not the one in a conditioned state. So the five hindrances, you don't have to fight them, don't have to control or suppress them. You just cultivate the five spiritual faculty, and it will deal with it automatically. Okay? So cultivation starts with training of the mind to develop the five spiritual faculty. Then focus on stabilizing your mindfulness through the method, technique, or skillful means that can help you, so that you can reverse the heedless thinking. Maintain more and more moment of mindfulness training. So if you do your puja, you bow more, develop daily mindfulness, then slowly, slowly, this spiritual faculty will stabilize until it becomes unshakable. Then it becomes power. That time, you sure become enlightened already. Otherwise, you cannot develop that. Then we move on to the three phases of Dhamma. Pariyati, Patipati, Pativeda. I've given you all the chart last time. That chart is very useful. You go and read. The details are all there. There are some repeated here by Alan purposely so that it's convenient for you to understand. There is another chart last time, you remember? Three turning of the Four Noble Truths and the three phases of Dhamma. So phase one is Pariyati, which is the learning of the doctrine or the teaching as taught by the Buddha. So you should spend more time to develop this phase one of the Dhamma. Because Dhamma need to be cultivated over three phases in order to be complete. So phase one is the learning of the doctrine. You turn to the next page. Next page give you the chart, clearly explain what this thing is. Pariyati, which is the learning of the doctrine, under phase one of Dhamma, you can develop it through the first turning wisdom, or the second turning wisdom, called Suttamaya Panya and Cintamaya Panya. So, Suttamaya Panya, the first turning wisdom born of hearing or reading the Sutta or Dhamma talk, as taught by the Buddha. So that is the hearing of the sutta. If wisdom develops, then you awaken. That is the first turning wisdom. Then when you reflect, contemplate, inquire into all the teachings that you have read, heard, cultivated. Sorry. Whatever you have heard, read, whatever you have heard, or listen to and read about through all the Dhamma talk, recording, books, or whatever material that you can lay your hand on, like the internet and all those things. Then you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into all this teaching so that you can stabilize and assimilate all this Dhamma that you have heard, read about, to set the base for further understanding later on via any other first, second, and third turning wisdom. So this will give rise to another type of wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. Panya is wisdom. Chintamaya is wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. Yeah. And this one, the spiritual faculty you need is just Saddha and Virya to develop it. Yeah. Then after that, when you are clear about the teaching, when you already understand what the teaching is all about, then you go into phase two. Phase two is Dhamma cultivation called Patipatti. Yeah? Cultivation, we are putting the Dhamma that you have learned into practice in daily life so that it can become a living reality. This one is very useful. So if you spend more time on phase one, phase two become very easy because you are very focused. You understand the true Dhamma and you know what you need to do. So you will not go onto the wrong route or get deviated, distracted. You will walk the path with understanding and you are very focused. Then you can finish off the phase two very fast. You can awaken to it. Then you will know why you are heedless, the five mental hindrances. Then you know how you must cultivate. You don't have to fight them, control them, or suppress. You only need to cultivate the spiritual faculty. Then stabilize that sati and use it to cultivate daily mindfulness and noble eightfold path. Then you are home. So if you understand that, you develop your meditation accordingly, very fast you will awaken. Patipatti can be cultivated. Then after you have finished the cultivation, by then you would have developed wisdom. Then phase three is the best. This part is Pativeda. You reap the fruits of your cultivation or hard work. Means after going through all this cultivation, after putting in so much of this diligence, sincerity and effort, you finally became enlightened. Then you can live the most beautiful phase of your life. This is when you can truly live life to the fullest. Then you will lead a noble life of an enlightened one, of an awakened one. Then you can experience all of the beauties and wonders of life within each and every moment of existence. Then life becomes meaningful. Life becomes wonderful. Life becomes beautiful. So this is how you develop the cultivation. Then go to the bottom paragraph, importance of sati to walk the path of Dhamma. This one is very easy. Sati is extremely important because without sati, one will become heedless. Okay? This one is very easy to understand. If you are not able to be ever mindful, you cannot be heedful. Then you become heedless. Without sati, one will not be able to follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness, because before the Buddha died, he advised all the disciples, the monks, apamadena sampadeta. You have to strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless, because the heedless are as if dead. So if you don't have heedfulness, you cannot follow the advice of the Buddha. Then the other Dhammapada verse 183, also very important. The Buddha said, in order to live the proper life, you need to do three things. You need to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, so that you can develop all the wisdom needed to live life, to understand life. So without sati, you will not be able to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Because without sati, you cannot start. You cannot see your mental intention. You cannot cultivate precepts. Then if you don't even understand what are the three evil roots, what are the five mental hindrances, even with sati, you cannot see them because you don't understand what they are. So without sati, one will not be able to keep one's precept too. Then without sati, there will be no spiritual faculties of sati. There will be no cultivation of four foundations of mindfulness because they need mindfulness to cultivate them. Without sati, you will not be able to investigate into the Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. Then without sati, there is no seven factors of enlightenment. And without sati, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So all these are very clear. Huh? Okay, we turn to page 3. Important advice to meditator. Huh? This one is for those who seriously meditate. Huh? Always remember, don't try to know anything during meditation. Otherwise, it becomes thought-based meditation very fast, very easily. Yeah. You don't try to go and look for things. You just silence your mind, and the silent mind will understand everything. That's why sati leading to samadhi. Yeah. Sati sampajana, clear comprehension with mindfulness together. Clearly comprehending what is going on. Yeah. Sincerity of purpose. Clarity of the domain of meditation. Yeah. Suitability of place, time, and people. Then, clear comprehension of non-delusion. Yeah. So all this, you have to be very clear. Then after that, the understanding will come from a direct seeing, a direct awakening without thought, without concept, without words, without idea. Yeah. Just a silent mind, which will understand and awaken to the truth and the reality, the characteristics of nature. Yeah. So just silent the mind and let things be. The understanding will arise on its own. Yeah. Don't be too eager to know. They are all knowledge, Dhamma. They are not wisdom. Dhamma as knowledge is rigid. Dhamma via awakening leads to wisdom. Okay? Can understand the difference, huh? So intellectual Dhamma is knowledge, understand? Huh? Whereas the one we are awakening, direct seeing, is wisdom. Okay, the third one is, the moment you are truly silent and relaxed, sati is already there. This is a silent mind that can investigate into all phenomena. Then let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thought or Dhamma knowledge. Then it becomes thought-based. Understand? So this part is very important. You only need to be silent. The moment you are silent, without thought, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware. Understand? The trying is by the thought. The thought try to know, try to be aware, try to meditate. Then how can you be silent? But the trying is by the thought. If the thought is active, there is no meditation. There is no silent mind. There is no sati. So all this is very important. That's why I put a note there. The pitfall of thought-based meditation is one is limited by the instrument that one uses to develop the meditation. Hence, their inability to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought and beyond mind. One needs to inquire deeply to find out for oneself who is the meditator. If it is the thought which is actively doing all the noting, labeling, chattering, and trying. You know what is trying, huh? Trying to be aware. Trying to be mindful. Trying to be silent. Trying to be peaceful. Who is trying? The thought is trying. The thought is trying to suppress everything, control everything. So, all of the noting, labeling, chattering, and trying to describe the Dhamma and trying to develop the meditation, then that is not the silent mind. The real Dhamma can only be realized when you are truly silent. So these are the important pointer. Huh? Don't fall into the pitfall of labeling, chattering. Then doing. Actually, the real meditation is no doing. The third way of the five ways that the Buddha taught, to overcome unwholesome thought, the third way is just silent your mind and aware. That's it. Then you will understand clearly. When you do that, the mind will return to its natural state of silent stillness before the stirring. And then you understand all of the emotion, anger, delusion, fear, worry, anxiety. They are not intrinsic. They are not part of you. Before you become angry, there was no anger. Understand now? Originally, you are beautiful, peaceful, silent, just aware with it. Then how does anger come to be? Anger are condition arising mental state, born of delusion, born of wrong view. So if you silence your mind, you will come to know anger is an energy field. When you silence and don't feed it with any more mental energy, it cannot proliferate to become more angry and emotional. And then anger will dissipate. That's why Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. And then when you're silent and don't do anything, then you realize that anger come and go. It sits by itself. And then you realize, hey, anger is not me. I don't have to fight anger. I just silent, anger cease by itself. That's why the Buddha said it's impermanent. It's anatta, non-self, not me. But if I deludedly cling on to anger and attach to anger and say, anger is an evil root, I want to do something about it, I want to suppress it and control it, then it becomes more powerful. Understand? Where you feed it with mental energy through your delusion, and the evil root become more powerful. That's why you cannot overcome them. That's why meditation is not what you think. So if suppression and control is involved, it's always by the thought. Okay, we don't have time. Another 2 minutes. So I quickly summarize for you. Using the silent mind, samasati, when your mind is silent without any thought, you will understand everything that is going on within your five mental aggregates of form and mind. And you awaken to the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. You will understand how upon contact, consciousness come to be. And then how within the content of consciousness, you will see how your mind stir. After you input your mental intention, born of wrong view, then how upon contact the seven universal, which are common to all consciousness, arise simultaneously. The feeling part, you will feel it clearly. And you will understand how upon contact feeling arise. But because you don't have wisdom, or you lack yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, feeling will immediately condition craving. Hence, without wisdom or yoniso manasikara, you cannot cut a feeling. You will see all this within your meditation, and that is the real direct seeing. That is how you will come to understand clearly that this conditioned arising mind, the stirring mind and the reactive mind are not your true mind. They arise because of your wrong view. Then the Four Noble Truths, one by one, you will come to understand them. You will come to understand the realities of life and existence, what is suffering, and the cause behind their arising. The seven universal mental factors are Sabba Chitta Saddhara. Saddharana, I think, Chetasikas. Oh, the printing went out. They are common to all consciousness, Sabba Chitta. They perform the most rudimentary and essential cognitive function, without which consciousness of an object would be impossible. So the seven universal that are common to all consciousness is, you must have contact, pasat. Then you must have feeling upon contact, which is vedana. Then you must have perception, sanya. Then you must have mental volition or chetana. Then there must be some form of one-pointedness or what they call attentiveness. Then there must be this life force or GV indriya, life faculties or life force. Then there is this mana sikara, means attention. Then after that, there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The Buddha taught five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or negative mental state during meditation. So the first one is like what we have gone through. The first two ways is thought-based. The Buddha said, if you got anger or fear or worry, anxiety or attachment, you have to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought to abandon the unwholesome thought. So when you have anger, you develop metta, loving-kindness. Your mind can only do one thing at a time. When there is metta, there can never be anger. Correct or not? So that's how you reverse it. Then the second way is to reflect and contemplate upon the danger and grave consequence of holding on to that unwholesome thought, because they are the three evil roots that can bring about negative karmic activity. Then arise the right effort to abandon this unwholesome thought. So right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen is very important. Then the right effort to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising in the future is equally important. Yeah? The first two is to arise the right effort to cultivate the unarisen wholesome thought. Means think of the direct wholesome thought. Understand not? So it's all there. Then the right effort to refine upon and perfect the wholesome thought that has arisen. So the four right effort cultivation are all in the remark column. Then turn to your last page. Third way, which is what the Buddha teach. Third and fourth way are the meditative training to develop wisdom. So in the retreat, when you do your form of meditation or your daily mindfulness, you must use the third and your fourth way. Then you will break free. The third way is just silence the mind. Don't do anything. To train the mind by deconditioning it from the heedless thinking and grasping at sense experience. By just being silent and aware without any thought, the mind will settle down on its own and return to its natural state of inner silence and stillness. This is your original state of true mind. That's why don't do anything. Then you will understand everything. Yeah. The moment you are silent, you will come to know that all this emotion or emotional negativity, all of the ill roots and mental hindrance, they are merely conditioned arising mind state, and they are never you. There is anger is never you, or not you. The understanding and the acceptance of the reality of all conditioned arising sensation and emotion at the moment of sense experience without any reaction or stirring of mind can lead to profound wisdom. The next time you got any of these emotions, you're just silent. Then you find out. I tell you, you will awaken very fast. Don't go and do anything. Don't go and control, suppress, and do all those funny things. Don't go and note also. So this is how you develop wisdom. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor, how anger come to be. Before you get angry, there was no anger. How the mind stir? It's always from one of your six senses. That's why under Dhammanupassana, the third category of cultivation is mindfulness of the internal six sense bases and the external six sense bases. You do that, you will develop this fourth way. You will trace the origination factor from one of the sense door it come in due to your wrong view. Then you need to retrospectively reverse it through an understanding to straighten your view. So using the silent mind, you can trace the origination factor of the unwholesome thought or mind state and then reverse it retrospectively. Train the cultivator to develop the true understanding via mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases or Dhammanupassana practices to arise the third turning wisdom born of bhavana mayapanya. Bhavana is mental training, meditative training. Wisdom born of bhavana. Then tracing the origination factor is explained further. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. So see how they arise, usually through the three major sense doors of seeing, hearing, and thinking. Then retrospectively reverse it via wisdom to understand how the arisen mental hindrance is to be. Then to counter the mental hindrance, we are cultivating five spiritual faculty to straighten one's view. Then mindfulness of the five mental aggregates of form and mind. See how the five mental aggregates come to be, their condition arising. Hence, seeing impermanent, suffering, and non-self or empty nature. Then see how you deluded the grubs cling and attach to them via your self-delusion or sakkayaditti. Then even the mindfulness of the six external and six internal sense bases, they are also clearly explained there. You go back and read it up. Then seven factors of enlightenment, mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. Then all this you can develop until you become enlightened. Then the fourth way, B, is reversing it retrospectively. Means after you have seen how they arise, then you retrospectively reverse all this through wisdom. The key here is silence your mind. Don't do anything. Then you understand. A silent mind can trace all the origination factor to develop the much-needed wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, to retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. Per the Satipatthana Sutta, you will come to know how the unarisen fetters or hindrance come to be. Then you will come to understand how the arisen fetters or hindrance ceases to be. The fifth way is very simple, the Buddha said. If all the four ways he teach you, you cannot develop, then you have to do it yourself, he said. With teeth clenched and tongue pressed against the palate, one should with one's mind restrain, root out this unwholesome thought, and in doing so, this evil and unwholesome thought of greed, hatred, and delusion will dissolve, and the mind will inwardly become settled and calm, composed and concentrated. Sheer determination via a very strong will to abandon the unwholesome thought. Because the Buddha said he cannot help you anymore, you have to help yourself. So you have to determine hard. Because all the four ways he teaches you is the most beautiful way. And yet you say you cannot do, and then you go and do your own self-determination to abandon it. Okay, we end. Sorry, I took up 7-8 minutes of your time. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Then you can make your aspiration. Then we end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena susampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, pay respect, mindfulness to Lord Buddha. Then we end.